Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Edge Got In podcast and another Christfield podcast. My name is Dr. Estella Chavoux, and I'm happy to share with you another podcast that Lauren and I share with you biweekly through Edge Got In. Our goal at Edge Got In is to help you champion the human potential in Christ. And through our weekly Bible podcast, we share messages that God has given to us to share with you. For more information on Edge Got In, be sure to go to our website at edgegotin.com or join our Edge Got In Facebook page for more information. In this week's podcast, I will discuss "Touch Not My Anointed." This command that says "Touch not thy anointed" is found in two places in the Scripture. It's found in Chronicles 16:22 and Psalms 10:5-15. It states, "Do not touch the anointed ones and do my prophets no harm." This scripture has a lot of debate, and it revolves around the context of the two scriptures and what they mean for us as Christians. Some people believe that it tells us that we are protected from bad things, and others feel that it insulates them from scrutiny. In this podcast, I will explain what I am led to believe it's based on the context I've gotten from the scriptures, and how we as Christians can use its power to pray and know that our God protects us no matter the outcome. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. So what does that mean? What does it mean first to be anointed? One of the biblical definitions of being anointed is to consecrate or make sacred in a ceremony that includes a token of applying oil. In the Bible, the anointed ones are described as being expressly set apart for God's plan and purposes. The anointed title was also given to Jesus the Messiah. So it's a huge responsibility and it's a huge calling. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim God's good news to the poor. He has also sent me to proclaim freedom from prisoners and recovery of the sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free." Thus, these people were truly anointed, right? So what does an anointed person do? What is he enabled with? Well, anointing enables you to do supernatural things, like you just saw in the scripture in Luke, where God had people heal the blind, he proclaimed freedom for prisoners, all of those miraculous things that took an anointing. And it took the anointing from the power of the Holy Spirit. For Catholics, canon law indicates anointing is for those who receive the sacrament. For Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that 144,000 individuals will have a heavenly calling or anointing by God as kings. This Bible study isn't to say one definition or one belief structure is better than another, but it's just to really understand anointing and to understand what God's purpose for us is once we have that. So are you anointed? In 1 John, God talks about denying the Son who is anointed. If we look at the history of the church, it shows that there have always been people who were not holy, and there's also always been people who were. Those that were not holy and not of us were described as having the spirit of the Antichrist and were not real. In John, he further talks about those that were with us and not true Christians. 1 John 2:18 through 20 says, "I would also say we should watch denying what the Son has given to us, which to me is the anointed. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they were not of us. Those who have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. John is telling us a lot of things here. And if we talk about who's with us and who's not with us, it becomes very clear, this division and this separation from good and evil. Earlier, I mentioned that being anointed is being set apart for God's plan and purposes, and also that the title of being anointed was given to Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Our being anointed can be seen in our works. 1 John 2:20 says and tells us that we do have the anointing as Christians. And Jesus, being the anointed one, can see in other scriptures, like you can see that in other scriptures like John 6:6-9, Revelation 3:7, Mark 1:24, and even in Acts 3:14. Going further into John, in the 26th and 27th verse, it says, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. When he's talking about those trying to lead us astray, those are the ones that are not with us, those antichrists. But as for you, the anointing you receive from him, which is God, remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, because the Holy Spirit is working in you, right? He also says, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. So God's telling us that he's given us the anointing, but we have to remain in him to receive it. And it's not counterfeit, it's real. We are anointed as Christians. For me, this means that we all are anointed by God and we're working for God's plan and purpose. But we also have to remember to not work on our own. When we do the opposite and work outside of God's plan, we lose our anointing or fall short of it, right? And he talks about how we can fall short of the glory of God. And this is how we can do this. And we're no longer under his anointing. So it's really important that we stay in God's word, stay, understand his plan, and work and listen and work toward what he's giving us. So anointing, one of the other things I want to bring out is anointing doesn't necessarily mean that bad things won't happen to you. It's a big responsibility too. Many times people think that being anointing will keep us away from difficult situations. But God says Christians have and will always face difficult situations. But the good news is that we can take comfort in knowing what is said in Jeremiah 29:11. In that scripture, it teaches us that it is not a promise to rescue us from hardship or suffering immediately, but rather a promise of God that he has a plan for our lives, regardless of our current situation. He can walk through it to prosper and give us hope. And the brilliant and beautiful thing is God's anointed, who is the Holy, God is anointed, he's the Holy One. And Jesus has touched us with his anointing through his Holy Spirit and caused us to know. So you have an anointing for the Holy One, and he says you all know. One of the things I also want to leave with you is that it's always about God's will. God's will has to be done, right? There is nothing and no one that can derail God's will or his plan for you. In the Lord's Prayer, we ask that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This alone tells us that praying God's will in earth and in heaven means that we are willing to go through whatever might prevent that purpose from being accomplished. We are fighters. We are conquerors. We are survivors. We're going through this because the Lord Prayer gives us the strength and tells us what God's will is if we listen to him and we're able to follow it. And through that and through his anointing, we are conquerors. Our prayer is that what we need to do is be so aligned with the will of God and his purpose that God will give us the empowerment to achieve it. So let us pray like we are taught to pray. God talks about this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Know that you are anointed as long as you stay in God's will and follow his plan. Amen.